Welcome to Actual People, a podcast hosted by me, Chauncey Zulkin, dedicated to meaningful conversations about the evolving landscape of our lives and the power of our own creativity and imagination to make magic. Welcome to Actual People Mother's Day Edition. So I started drafting this episode a few weeks ago as a heartfelt girl meets dog story. It wasn't a Mother's Day story. But now it's a bit messier. It's exhausting. It's conflicted. It's filled with joy, but also uncertainty. And honestly, that is what motherhood is like. Even at this very moment, one of my daughters is trying to talk while I record this. So here's what happened. 3 weeks ago, it was a gray and chilly spring Saturday. My daughter Skye and I went out to get bagels, and we were on our way home, and it started to drizzle. We were almost to the house when Skye yells out, turn around, there's a dog in the road. I made a U-turn, and there, on the side of the road, was a brown and white pit bull wearing a choke chain. We now know he's a he, was ambling along at a slow trot with his head lowered, looking dejected and confused. He wandered into a yard, which I assumed was his yard, so I pulled into the driveway, and I honked a few times, but no one came out, and then the dog walks right back out of the yard and onto the street again and heads towards the busy road. That's when my daughter hopped out of the car and ran ahead of him to guide him away from the road. Even though he was a pit bull, there was nothing about his demeanor that felt threatening. He barely seemed to notice my daughter, other than to let her lead him back to the sidewalk. As they walked along, I followed in my car slowly. At the next block, she guided the dog toward a side street. As they walked in front of me, I pulled out my phone and called animal control. I explained the situation and I gave our location, all that stuff, and they said, don't get too close to the dog. Well, you know, that ship had sailed. Of course I'm wondering to myself, am I making a bad parenting decision here to let my petite daughter be so close to a strange pit bull? I had a fancy little lap dog for 18 years. It was a Japanese chin, very much like what you'd see in a 17th or 18th century painting of a lapdog. I lived in New York neighborhoods with lots of pit bulls that were like status symbols of toughness. I was always trying to navigate my dog away from those bigger, tougher dogs. I know pit bulls get a bad rap, but there are also quite a lot of incidents of them being aggressive. Anyway, as I trailed my daughter and the dog up the side of the road, a police officer pulled over. I thought she might have been dispatched by animal control, and she thought we'd lost our dog and wanted to know if we needed help. I explained the situation. He wasn't ours, but my daughter wanted to make sure he was okay. She said, well, why don't you just tell your daughter that I am animal control and that we'll take care of it so you guys can just go home. I looked at her, and her words were a barometer of my feelings about the whole situation. What she was suggesting was so foreign to me. Both lying to my daughter and abandoning this dog in the rain. This is where I started to feel a decision tree was starting to take shape. 1, stop for the dog. 2, don't take the suggestion to pretend the dog was saved. And now, 3, I'm watching from the car. I call animal control. I say, hi, so when you come to get the dog, I want to make sure that he does not go to a kill shelter. The woman on the other end said, ma'am, they're all kill shelters. So I immediately cancel animal control. I called my neighbor. I asked if she would meet us with a dog leash. She shows up a few minutes later. We easily attach that leash to the choke chain. No amount of bagel pieces, though, would get him into the back of my Outback. I later learned it was because he's old and he's arthritic and he can't jump up into a car. He tried, and I learned the hard way because he fell on his back. So at this point, he's not jumping into the car. My daughter walks him back to the house, and I follow alongside. It's just a few minutes up the road, and I'm still feeling nervous about the whole thing, but I know this is the right thing to do. So now at this point, we take him into the house. We load up laundry baskets, toy bins, the microwave, and whatever else we can find to barricade him into the breakfast room, which is surrounded by windows. It's a pretty little room in the back of the house. We put chair cushions and towels on the floor. My daughter dried him off with towels. We put out a huge bowl of ice water, and we gave him some food, and he inhaled that and just crashed. I watched him as he slept. It was like that deep sleep that you only have after a 20-hour flight. You're just dead tired. He was sleeping so peacefully and so soundly, but he was also shivering, so I covered him with a handmade Scottish blanket that I had bought in Northern England when I was pregnant with my girls. When I draped it over the dog, the shivering stopped. Decision number 4, naming the dog. It happened to be Passover, and we were invited to dinner at my cousin's house. On the way over there, I thought, let's call him Elijah. Elijah was the prophet invited to Passover feasts. He was a symbol of hope and redemption. I said to the girls, let's just call him that, you know, temporarily. The next day, I took him to the vet, where I found out he wasn't chipped, and he wasn't neutered. The vet said he had an enlarged prostate, and he was malnourished. She wanted me to do all the shots, all the things, but I couldn't spend hundreds of dollars on a dog I found the day before. I'm just in no position to do that. So I said, okay, let's just take this one day at a time. I'll get him a rabies shot, and we'll take a heartworm pill. On the way home, we had to stop by the store anyway, and at that store, there was a bed on sale for $29, one of those huge beds, perfect for a dog like Elijah. I reasoned we could just reuse it in the future, whether he stayed with us or not. It wasn't a bad thing to have. So I got the bed, and I got a flea collar. This felt like step number 5 in a narrative toward dog ownership, but this is not a clear-cut story. We have 2 cats and a dog who are not so pleased with this whole dog serendipity thing. One particularly bad day, I thought I just couldn't take it. How can I be on the top of a pyramid as the only caretaking adult of 2 kids, 2 dogs, and 2 cats, running a podcast while trying to build up a business in an uncertain time? I went to the shelter just as a fact-finding mission. I said, okay, I have to at least go, because I'd been told that if you left the dog for 5 days and no one reclaimed it, then I could come and adopt the dog and I could pay a lower price for the chipping and the neutering and all of the tests. The whole way to the shelter with my kids in the backseat, I felt like I had a stone in my stomach. But I told myself, this is just a fact-finding mission and I just want to see if this is the right way to go. When I got to the shelter, they told me they were near capacity and that there were no guarantees that the dog would not get euthanized since I was not the original owner. So we made an about face, we all piled back into the car and went to a pet store on the way home. At the very least, Elijah should have a proper collar and a leash, one that was comfortable and dignified. I ditched the choke chain and I got him an iridescent cranberry colored nylon collar and matching leash, more food and a few bully sticks. That was a definite step 6 and I knew it, but it just couldn't be any other way. That following Saturday, we took him to another pet store and we paid to give him a bath, and on our way out, we stopped by the counter and saw that they had that little machine where you can make ID tags. So I said, okay, it's only $14. We made him an Elijah ID tag, and it sits right next to his rabies tag on his new collar. And then I met a woman through my cousin who's on the board of the county shelter. She also happens to foster pit bulls, and she connected me to an organization where you can apply to get a $40 voucher. It's an organization called Pit Stop. So I did that and we got approved. And Tuesday, Elijah has an appointment to get neutered, chipped, and vaccinated. In the meantime, though, Elijah has been barking when we don't want to play. Usually when we are all sitting down to watch TV on the big screen. Usually we're all utterly exhausted and need to just be quiet with blankets and pillows and each other. That's when the loud barking begins, which gets my other dog barking too. And a few nights ago, something happened. But let me first back up. In another era of my life, I lived in cities. New York, Paris, Barcelona. I was always swept along by serendipity and chance encounters almost every day in New York. Also in Paris and Barcelona, but a little less so. But as soon as I say this, I think about this time when I went out with a bunch of students from a clown school and went home singing loud with my headphones late at night all the way from Canal Saint-Martin to my apartment in the Marais. I was overcome that night with a sense of independence and freedom. Also in Paris, we'd go to a place called La Perle. It was very close to where I lived. It's also the place where John Galliano famously ruined his career with anti-Semitic remarks. We'd go there, and then we'd go to this great after-hours spot that looked like any other little cafe on a corner, but where locals, old-timers, and all kinds of interesting people would show up when La Perle would close. Before all this motherhood stuff, before single motherhood, before marriage, before cohabitating, every day there were chance encounters. Life was full of serendipity and dramas of all kinds, and now not so much. Routine is the backbone of my life. Each morning begins with writing for about 20 to 60 minutes, followed by preparing my kids' lunches, water, snacks, and getting them off to school. Then it's back to my desk to grind away at some form of content creation until I go, okay, I have to stop doing this creative work and I have to start going about the business of doing the things that make me money in a more direct way. I send off emails And then in the afternoon, I have Zoom calls and I record this podcast until it's time to go pick up the girls. Somewhere in there, there might be a yoga class or a walk around the lake, but the day is short. Before I know it, I go pick up the girls and they immediately play outside with other kids if they're not in an after school activity. So I go back to my desk until I pry myself away to go make dinner, which is usually way too elaborate. Through all this, I am just spent. We often watch a TV show while we're eating together. Don't judge me for this. We spend so much time talking, reading together, doing crafts, that in our schedule, it feels completely fine for us to watch TV during dinner. When I grew up, that was an absolute no-no. But I spent a lot of time with my kids, and we eat really fresh home-cooked meals at least 6 nights a week. So we watch a show whenever we find one we can watch together. And right now, it's this bromance FBI procedural called White Collar, which is predictable and completely implausible. But hey, there are only a handful of TV shows that I can watch with my 10-year-olds that are not seeped in sex and violence, and this is one of them. The other shows we've watched as a trio are Ghosts, which is very clever, actually. Not Dead Yet, about an obituary writer and starring Gina Rodriguez, whose face I just love to watch, but the show has been canceled. It was never that great. Home Economics, which was really great, but is also canceled. And of course, Abbott Elementary. And so right now, it's White Collar, which is really a show centered around how handsome the main character is. Like, really, there's nothing else going for the show except for blue eyes and a crinkly smile. But anyway, by the time we finish dinner and I've gotten them to load the dishwasher while I clean the counters and sweep the floor, it's amazing the mess that is made in one single day with twin 10-year-olds. I am so exhausted that I delay putting them to bed because I need to rest on the couch before repeating over and over, brush your teeth, put on your PJs. Recently, I'm working on adjusting my schedule to try to end work an hour before they get home, so I have 30 minutes to get my bearings in the house before collecting the kids. The idea is I do a little housework, I meditate. This process is little by little. I already moved from waking up at 6:15 to 5:45, for example. The aim is to get to 5 a.m. Incremental change. But the more quiet time I have to write and work, the better. Routine, order, organization, it's almost a religion in my life. If my house is clean and neat, I feel in control. The days after the housekeeper come are almost sublime. That phrase, cleanliness is close to godliness, makes just so much sense. So this is all really a long way to say, in my mom era, living in a small city, living a life governed by balancing creativity and time with my beautiful children and earning money and keeping the house clean and planning affordable vacations, there are not a lot of surprises. In fact, I don't think moms really want a lot of surprises. In the crazy world that we live in, stasis is good. Stability is good. Let's just keep things running smoothly and create safety and security. That is job number one. So back to Elijah the pit bull. We're living with Elijah and he's absolutely irresistible. He's this big oafish dog that tramples on us and digs into us with his big claws when he tries to sit on our lap like a lap dog. He's got those little ears that point straight up and then flop over, and he doesn't really know how to play catch, but he definitely tries. And I found out that he can both sit and give me a paw. There was someone out there that loved him at some point. Every day I think about a possible alternative to the narrative of Elijah. But it isn't easy. The barking isn't easy. The pending expenses, vet bills in my future, it slows everything down. Every day I'm just not sure. And every day I don't want him to leave. So one night I've gotten my kids off to bed. I've stepped over the squashmallows. I've given them both kisses and back rubs. I can hear the washing machine, the dryer, and the dishwashers all humming along. The lights are off. The simplest safe alarm is on. The light is off in my room, and I go into my bathroom, and I brush my teeth and wash my face, and I'm walking to my bed, and I take 2 steps before I feel a warm, wet gush of ooze. The recognition is immediate. Dog shit. New dog. Dog shit. I hop 1 more step and sit on the edge of my bed holding out my poop covered barefoot, and I just take a breath and I get back up and I get to the business of multiple Lysol wipes, dish soap, disinfectant, taking the trash out of the house, washing the foot again, washing the foot 13 more times, opening up the window to make sure there's no residual poop smell that I'll be inhaling through the night. This is a far cry from Dancing with Clown School students or going to Parisian nightclubs listening to Daft Punk, or writing about trends during fashion week at fashion shows. This is motherhood. This is single motherhood, to be specific, which is like motherhood on steroids. And I am at the top of a chain of two kids, two dogs, and two pretty pissed off cats in a very pretty little house in a small mid-Atlantic city. And I can't tell you with any certainty whether or not Elijah is going to be part of our story this time next year, but I will not let him go to a shelter, and I will not let him go back to the place where he got all of those scars that encircle his legs or the three slash marks on his nose. And I can also tell you that on this Mother's Day, I'm pretty eager to wrap up this podcast and put my arms around that sweet little senior pit bull that we found on the side of the road on a drizzly early spring morning 20 days ago and give him a big kiss and then go on a bike ride with my kids and go to another mom's house and have dinner and just feel the joy of this crazy situation and know that my decision tree will continue to evolve every day using intuition and love. Happy Mother's Day. You've been listening to Actual People. This show is written, directed, and executive produced by me, your host, Chauncey Zalkin. Show sound designed by Eric Aaron. Click on the link below to subscribe so you don't miss a single episode. And don't forget to leave a review. I'll be sharing my favorites. You can find our socials and all links to deeper dives into these topics at chaunceyzalkin.com and on my Substack at chaunceyzalkin.substack.com. Actual People is available wherever you get your podcasts.